Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. I'm joined, as always, by Matt Williamson. Matt, your fantasy team still alive?
Yes and no. Hyperactive 4, still undefeated, churning along, even though I didn't have Wentz, Zeke, or Fournette last week, and I'm starting David Njoku as my tight end. and I started Jay Cutler at quarterback, but I am still rolling along, but get Zeke back. Kind of excited for that. And then my other really good team, I lost, and now I'm sad about that. And in my redraft league, I've only do one, and it's with my buddies. I have the most points in the league. I have the best team in the league, but I lost to probably the worst owner in the league, and it's under my skin a little. Antonio Brown hurt me in both those losses, obviously.
Yeah, the Brown injury was obviously a major storyline from last week, and selfishly for fantasy owners came at the very worst time. Of course, it hurts to lose guys like Wentz and Fournette, like you were mentioning, but of course, with situations like that, we have time to switch those guys out of our lineups. Deals like the Brown injury are just the worst. And obviously, like I said, that's selfish. Much worse for him, much worse for the Steelers than any of our situations. But still kind of stings when you lose a playoff game because of that.
In a game like that, obviously, that's harder. How many leagues are you still alive in?
Yeah, so I couldn't have told you until I looked at this earlier today exactly how many leagues I even play in. So I have a total of 19 dynasty leagues.
Wow.
Two of those are best ball only. So once the season starts, I don't do anything other than check how my team is scoring. But in the 17 that require weekly lineups and waivers and trades and things like that, I made the playoffs in 16 of those.
Wow.
Yeah. So 16 out of 17, and I have 8 title games going this next week. So
that's pretty strong, dude.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
People coming to you for advice for the right reasons.
Well, it's been a good year to have Alvin Kamara. I had a lot of Kamara shares and some Gurley and Julio and Hopkins and just all these players that have mostly performed well.
So those are a couple of the common themes, Gurley, Kamara.
I think so, yeah. And, I mean, we've talked about it a ton on here, and all of our listeners probably know I've got Mike Evans on a bunch of rosters. I've got Amari Cooper on a bunch of rosters. The key to kind of putting up with the types of seasons those guys have had is to have that depth. In one league that I'm still alive, I was able to sit Mike Evans and A.J. Green and Amari Cooper. Of course, Cooper was injured, but he's been benched for a while. I was able to sit those guys because I had some nice depth, and that's really the key, I think, at least one of the major keys to having some success and winning some championships.
Yeah, I mean, and that takes constant roster monitoring and can't ignore things and paying attention to the waiver wire and, you know, all the things that we preach on here.
Yep, absolutely. Matt, today we're going to take some listener questions, and we'll jump right in. We've got a question from Matt. This one stings a little bit because Matt was one of my losses. In one of the hyperactive leagues, I thought I had him right where I wanted him, playing against Matt in the conference finals this past week. I go into the Sunday night games. I'm down 29 points, but I've got Dez Bryant, I've got Julio Jones, I've got Mohamed Sanu, and my buddy Matt is done. All his players have played. So I just needed to average 10 points from those three players. I thought I was in great shape, and we know how that goes. I think, Dez got 8 or 9, Julio got 8 or 9, Sanu got less than that, and Matt bounced me from the playoffs. That one hurts a little, but we'll still take a look at his question. Matt says, how do you see – I know, it hurts. How do you see Sammy's value this offseason? Are you buying, selling, holding? Of course, speaking of Sammy Watkins, who's going to be a free agent this offseason, traded from the Bills to the L.A. Rams. The Bills actually – before they made the trade, declined to to give him that extra year that comes with so often comes with former first round draft picks. They passed on that option and then dealt him to the Rams, where he's been basically the third option in that offense and in that passing offense. And really, when you factor in Todd Gurley, he's the fourth option behind Woods and Cooper Kupp. I took a look at Sammy's ADP really from the, over the past year and a half or so, dating back to late 2015. He was always in that range of middle of the first round to middle of the second. So somewhere between 8 and 18 for almost a year and a half, 2 years, he was in that range. And now we've seen him starting to drop. His current ADP is 29. So you're looking there at more of the mid-third round if you're thinking about a startup draft. Matt, with your scout hat on, what are you seeing with Sammy Watkins? Is he a guy that we've just been overrating because he was a high draft pick and because he is a young wide receiver? Or do we still have some hope there?
Here's my take on him is, first off, he has stayed healthy. I mean, that's huge for this guy. You know, I mean, that's been the number one knock on him if we had this conversation 1 year ago. So is he past the injuries? I mean, who knows? But he is staying healthy. I think that's noteworthy. When you watch the tape, I really think he looks good, awfully good. But the nature of the Rams offense, he's almost always the backside receiver. It's a lot of play action and then look to Woods' direction after that and often cup out of the slot there or dump it to Gurley. So he is the fourth option as a receiver. But there's a lot of times that he is beating his man. He looks strong. He looks explosive. That the nature of this offense isn't helping him. And if you look back even like to the Shanahans, Kubiak, they usually have Brandon Marshall, Andre Johnson, you know, a true number one receiver. And then the other guys, the complimentary piece. Well, I thought Watkins would be the one. And Woods would be the complimentary piece, but that's not it at all. I mean, Woods is really their feature guy. So if he stays with the Rams, I don't know that it gets much better for him. Although I think the more that Goff progresses as a passer and a reader of defenses and seeing the whole field, that certainly will help. And I do think that's an offense that'll put up points. But I also think that if he goes somewhere and they look at him as a number one, he could be a real steal for what you're paying for him right now. Chicago. I don't know. Somewhere that needs a number one wideout.
I'd say there's a lot of teams who need a number one wideout. And just listening to you there, I was already thinking, so we should be rooting for this guy to get out of Los Angeles, even though they're one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. I mean, typically – and based on what we've seen out of McVay with the Redskins and now with the Rams, that normally you would think that would be a coach you would want to be tied to, but maybe not in this situation. So is that the McVay offense, or is that more about Goff's limitations as a quarterback?
Well, I had mentioned earlier, you know, the Shanahan-Kubiak offense, and that's really what McVay is running, and he's putting his new spin on it. If he stays with the Rams, I do think as Goff gets better, Watkins gets better. But I think they view Woods as the one, and that offense features a prominent guy more so. Remember Pierre Garçon. I mean, he got a lot more targets than DeSean Jackson whenever McVay was in Washington with those guys. I guess the question then is, what's he worth, you know, in Dynasty? Like, to me, I can't use a top two round startup pick on him. But the third round, maybe I'm thinking about it. Are you giving up 1-6 for him? I don't think.
I think he's going to cost. I would normally say a random first, but this time of year, we're starting to know where those first round picks are. So I would say more in that back end of the first round range. 1-6 would probably be
a little rich.
The top of what I would want to pay, and we'll get into some of this, some of these potential players in this rookie class. And it's already maybe better than I thought. Yeah, if you're talking about a startup, like I said, he's down to 29, middle-ish of the third round, and I think he's only going to drop fall further. I think we could be looking at him as a fourth or fifth round startup pick, depending on how free agency goes for him and what the Rams do.
And I can see a lot of people that don't listen to the show or whatever, if he signs anywhere really, saying, boy, that's a down tick because the Rams are such a good offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Next question comes from Johnny. He says, what's the guesstimate on Teddy in 2018 and beyond? So this Vikings quarterback situation is one of my favorite offseason topics to think about already, but it's also one of the most frustrating. I don't feel like I have any answers or any insight into it, but I can't wait to see how it plays out. And just to explain exactly what I'm talking about, in case you don't know, the Rams' three quarterbacks that are, active or have been active for the most part of the season, Bradford, Teddy, and Case Keenum, are all free agents following this season. And they're going to have to commit most likely to one of these guys, maybe even to two of these guys, depending on how free agency plays out. Bridgewater, we know the issue with the major injury there a couple years ago. He got back on the field this past week, which was great to see, and as expected, looked pretty rough, but that was very, very limited playing time at the end of the game. Case Keenum has played out of his mind, the best football of his career by far, but he's not that brand name that both Bridgewater and Bradford are, so I wonder if that's a move they're ready to make as far as committing a big contract to him. And then you've got Bradford, who has dealt with his own injury issues almost every season. I don't think they really consider Bradford at all. I think they're looking at Bridgewater, at Keenum, and ideally I think they'd probably like to bring them both back. How do you see this playing out, specifically when it comes to Bridgewater, since that's who Johnny asked about?
Yeah, and here's my take on it is I think Bradford's the best quarterback of the group. But I also wouldn't be shocked if he never plays another snap. You know, that he's got a bazillion million dollars. Maybe he just is – his body no longer is ready – is able to play football, or no one wants to take a risk on him, or he doesn't want to. I know more or less for a fact that this organization loves Teddy. Not like, hey, Teddy, we're rooting for you. They think he's a really good player and can be a franchise quarterback. But how can you put him on the field the way Keenum's playing? I mean, if I were the GM in Minnesota, I would re-sign Keenum to like a 2 or 3 year deal. And when you look at their team needs, they don't really need much. They don't have many prominent guys up for free agency. I think you can draft a quarterback really high, first two rounds in, if you're the Vikes, and have Keenum be the man slash placeholder. But that means Teddy leaves. And I would think there'd be a market for Bridgewater. I mean, I could probably come up with 8 to 10 teams that he's at least in contention to be better than what they have. You know, if Washington loses Cousins or Palmer retires. I mean, I think Bridgewater's probably a starter.
So this question got me really thinking about the 2018 quarterback situation. We've done this often. Or we've done this in the past on here before, and it's a fun exercise. But when you think about kind of a confidence situation, who's going to be the starter for this team next season? And I found eight teams. You mentioned eight. I found eight teams who I just shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know who the starter is going to be. That job is basically wide open. And it's going to get filled by one of these players that's available. So we're talking about Buffalo, certainly going to move on from Tyrod Taylor.
Before we go any further, just one thing. I do want to talk about all eight teams, but a team like Buffalo, Washington, those guys are going to fill one of the other needs, though. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean there's eight openings.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. You know, it's just going to be musical chairs.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it's going to be. But
Buffalo, do you agree that Teddy's probably going to be a starter either in Minnesota or Buffalo or Washington or one of these teams we mentioned. You think he'll probably get a starting contract?
Yes.
I think so too. I mean, he's a risky. I mean, when's the last time you saw him play?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to, I don't think he's going to be handed a starter job. I think he's going to be brought in to a team that maybe has a veteran that is a little iffy at this point, or maybe he's brought in kind of like a Bear situation where they bring in Teddy and then they draft a rookie as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's the situation. I don't think it's March or April and we're saying Teddy is the starter for this team. But here's the teams I came up with. Buffalo with Tyrod.
I could see that fit with for Teddy.
Cleveland, certainly not going with Kaiser. Probably conventional wisdom is they'll draft somebody. Denver, just a disaster there with all three of those guys. The Jets, the Cardinals, assuming Palmer is either retires or is cut. The Vikings, who we're talking about, the Giants, likely, I guess, I think we can say likely moving on from Eli. Maybe that depends on management there. And the Redskins with Kirk Cousins. So obviously the Redskins would want to fill that spot with Cousins. And if he doesn't stay in Washington, he's going to one of these other eight. Cousins is a lock to be a starter there. But the musical chairs portion is you've got Tyrod Taylor, you've got Palmer if he doesn't retire, you've got Bridgewater and Keenum and Bradford and Eli, and then you've got a rookie class that looks like it's six deep at the top.
Mm-hmm.
With Rosen, Allen, Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Rudolph, Mayfield. Any of those guys could go in the first round or two and could be viewed as a long-term starter, if not an immediate starter, depending on where they land. So
you didn't even mention Jacksonville. I mean, Bortles is playing really well, but it's only been three or four games.
Right. So, yeah, there's some teams there that I've got a name down, but maybe not quite as confident. Jacksonville is one of those. The other player I didn't mention is Alex Smith potentially being available.
And I think he will be.
Yeah. But Cincinnati, they could move on from Dalton, especially with some of these changes they're making there. If mm-hmm. they decide to keep Dalton, they could make AJ McCarron available. So that would be another piece that some teams would be after, especially if we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, evidently. So the quarterback market, you said musical chairs. There's eight chairs and there's about 15 people playing the game. Some people are going to be left out, obviously.
The one situation, just from a Teddy perspective, that I could see that I hadn't thought of until right now is, what about the Jets? You know, like, bring McCown back, sign Teddy. Your season wasn't awful enough that you're going to have a top five pick and draft other things.
Yeah, but again, going back to that number of eight, if you think there's eight and Tyrod Taylor and Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith are going to be starters somewhere,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it's their current teams or another, those and four, those, yeah, right. Those four are going to be starters. So now there's really four openings and you've got the rookies and Manning and Bradford and Bridgewater competing for those. If we're talking about a two quarterback dynasty, how do we value Bridgewater? I just don't, he's just not a safe asset at this point. He's an asset with some upside for sure.
Maybe he's a sell. Maybe someone's excited about him right now.
In two quarterback, I could see that. In one quarterback, I still don't think he has any value beyond a roster stash.
Right. You're not going to get a second round pick for him in a typical dynasty. No.
All right, next question. Good conversation on quarterbacks there. Next question comes from Mike. He says, with some potential free agents leaving, along with likely salary cut candidates, who is a current player flying under the radar that might make a big splash in 2018? The guys over at Spot Track, is that what it's called, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're excellent with contracts and all that good stuff.
They really are. They recently did an article projecting some players who could be cap cut, cap casualties. And It's a lengthy list. A lot of the names we just talked about at quarterback, Palmer, Tyrod Taylor, Dalton, Bortles, Alex Smith, Eli Manning. With most of those beyond Smith and Dalton, it's tough to project who might benefit from that. There's nobody behind Carson Palmer or Tyrod Taylor or Bortles or Eli that I view as a surefire starter and really not even anybody I would want to roster. I mean, even I guess in a two quarterback, I would maybe have Davis Webb on a roster just in case, but I mean, they're not handing the job over to Davis Webb. The Bills are not handing the job over to Peterman. Obviously we know that at this point. So if those players are cut, they're looking elsewhere for a quarterback. Running back is a little more interesting. Adrian Peterson, I don't think that would really have an impact with Johnson coming back. Jonathan Stewart, Lamar Miller, both mentioned as possible cap cuts. The one that I think is most interesting is Mark Ingram. And we've heard his name before, mostly in the preseason or early in the season before he just exploded for some of his best football of his career. But if he is gone for some reason, they've got Jonathan Williams, they've got Trey Edmonds, a couple young guys buried on that depth chart. Those are guys I would be looking to stash in deep leagues. Doug Martin is another one. What do you think about Peyton Barber? He's played well when he's been given the chance. Is he just a guy who's, I don't know, has fresh legs and is kind of surprising at the end of the season? Or is he a player who could maybe be a future starter for this team?
Well, I think it's safe to say Doug Martin won't be back, and they just suspended him. I think his time in Tampa's over. I thought Barber looked good last night. He runs really hard. I like the player, but I think you're nuts if you're the Bucs and you just say, oh, we have our guy. You know, like, you better draft one the second round if that's how you do it, or, you know, something along those lines.
Right, right. And the musical chairs game gets even more competitive at the running back position. Free agency will be fun because we've got Le'Veon Bell, we've got Carlos Hyde and Jerick McKinnon and Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis. We've got some pretty big names out there, but then you have another rookie class that's about 10 or 12 or 15 deep with running backs you're going to want to be familiar with before the combine starts, certainly before NFL draft time. So again, if we're looking at players who can benefit from these veterans being cut, for the most part, it's going to be rookies or it's going to be free agents. You know, Jerick McKinnon slides into one of these spots. Another rumored cap cut, according to their article, is DeMarco Murray. So maybe they go with Derrick Henry as their starter and they add Jerick McKinnon or they add Rex Burkhead.
Some kind of receiving back would make
sense. Right, right. And both of those guys, I think, would see – well, I don't know about Burkhead, but McKinnon would at least see a little bump in value there. I think with Burkhead and Lewis, almost anywhere they go, they're going to see a downtick in value unless they stay in New England.
And I think New England will make running back changes. They always do. But to answer this question is really hard. I mean, it's kind of like which one of these lottery balls is going to hit? You know, like it's a little early to jump on that, projecting where all these people are going to end up. And say this wide receiver is going to land on standing on his feet or in a good situation.
Well, this time last year, and I can't remember who our guest was. Maybe I can't recall, but I remember having a conversation about Rex Burkhead, and it was early in the off season, and we were talking about guys who maybe could benefit from this exact situation, free agency, whether it be a kind of an under the radar free agent or a player who might be left behind and asked to step up. And we talked about Burkhead and I went out and added him to a couple of rosters because of that conversation and that paid off.
Get him for free.
Right. I think a lot of the conversations that we have this off season might be who's this year's Burkhead, who's this year's Alvin Kamara. And the truth is, there's probably not one. There's probably not a Burkhead because those situations are rare where you take a third string running back from a team and he becomes a fantasy starter in the right situation. or you take a second or third round pick that everybody was overlooking, and he becomes one of the biggest stories in the fantasy football community this year. You know, that jumping ahead to the rookie class, there's a couple players I think that are kind of in the mold of Kamara, and we've talked about those on here already, but that doesn't mean you're going to get to use your early second round pick and get the fantasy MVP scoring 300 fantasy points or something crazy, 250 fantasy points. It's probably not going to happen. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be looking, though. You should always be looking. That's the point.
Yeah, like the Saints situation's interesting, but are they really going to cut Mark Ingram? I mean, He's really good, and they might win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't think so. I actually did kind of presume that they would cut him earlier in the season. There'd been some bad blood between Ingram and Peyton, at least reportedly. But hey, when you're winning, that cures everything, right? And it seems like everybody's happy if you're a Saints fan or a Saints player this year, and if you're an owner with Ingram or Kamara on your team, you're pretty happy as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
Next question comes from Thad. He said, how does Garoppolo compare to the incoming 2018 rookie quarterback class? Is he better for Dynasty? So the rookie quarterback class is pretty deep, as I already mentioned. You've got Josh Rosen, who a lot of people think could be one of the top two or three picks. You've got Sam Darnold, same thing for him. Both of those guys could go number one overall potentially. And then you've got several players who there's mixed reviews on. Some people think they'll go as high as top five. Some people see these players falling to the second. We're talking about Josh Allen, the Wyoming quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield, the Heisman winner. But that's a deep group when you're talking about college quarterbacks in December. There's still a lot of uncertainty about those guys. And in fact, some of those players, we're not even sure if they will declare yet. They may end up back in college for another year. But if I'm comparing Garoppolo versus those guys, I don't think it's even a contest. I want Garoppolo a million times over. We've seen him now just for three games with the 49ers. We've seen him put up 290 or more yards in all three games. He's improved every week. They've won every game. He's got a limited supporting cast there around him with basically Marquise Goodwin and not really much else. Even Carlos Hyde has not been doing much lately. Matt, did we have the conversation just a couple weeks ago that Garoppolo might be a top 12 quarterback?
Yeah, I think our last listener question show, I wrote in a question saying,
"That's right.
Is Garoppolo a top 10 guy?" And we came up with more than 10 guys we'd rather have. But I think it's a conversation, and right, this isn't to me. I mean, Garoppolo is a franchise quarterback by NFL standards, and there's no – you can have the whole rookie class and give me Garoppolo. You know, I mean, not to mention the Shanahan system is very fruitful.
Yeah, just two or three weeks ago, we kind of laughed that situation off, and we said, of course we'd rather have Mariota and Winston and Carr and Cousins and Stafford over Garoppolo. Of course we would. And now I'm not so sure. Now, right, I think it's again, it's only been three games. You don't want to presume too much, but he was a hot commodity in the NFL for a reason. And we're seeing that play out. I mentioned the other day, and I got a little flack for it because they do have some young promising talent, but I said, I can't wait to see Garoppolo with good players. And that was not meant to be a knock on on Goodwin or Trent Taylor, who's been impressive, or George Kittle or these guys. They've got some nice pieces, but I mean, next year when Garcon is back, or next year when they sign one of these free agent wide receivers, and there's a bunch of them,
better off at the line.
Wow, we could easily be talking about Garoppolo as the top 10 guy.
What if they sign Sammy? Or Allen Robinson, or their first round pick is the best receiver in the draft, or whatever. Your point's very true, though, that they don't have a good supporting cast. There's a great offensive system in place, and making things even better, they're going to have an early pick. They're going to have tons of cap room. their roster will be better next year than it is now. And I'm fully on board that he's a very, very good player. Like, I think I would rather have Jimmy G, knowing he's going to be a Niner, and I know he's a free agent, but he's not going anywhere, than Kirk Cousins in parts unknown.
Yeah, yeah. I think I already have him ranked over Cousins, and I moved him up quite a bit over the past couple weeks, and don't feel guilty about that at all. If his price is, for whatever reason, if you can still get him on the cheap, whatever on the cheap looks like in your league, then please do it.
What is on the cheap in a one quarterback league? Is that early second?
I still wouldn't pay a first rounder for him. And guys like that, it's tough to trade, because if I'm trying to trade for him and I'm not willing to give up a first rounder, and you've got Garoppolo, then what's really, what's your incentive to take a second rounder for him? So he and all those guys that we mentioned kind of in that same tier are probably worth less than a first, but more than a second. So
he's going to be hard to get now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think so.
And on my worst team, it's the only place I own Jimmy. On my worst team, I traded the guy Rivers and I got Garoppolo and something. You know, like I traded him two old dudes and I knew I wasn't going anywhere. I got Jimmy in a pick or something.
Well,
those
days
are gone.
He's easily worth more than Rivers already.
Right. But this guy, Rivers, was hot and it helped him win the league this year. You know, Yeah. Like, that ship sailed.
All right. Next question comes from John. He says, how do you value the bust rookies? He's got bust in quotation marks there. The bust rookies from 2017, Corey Davis, John Ross, Mike Williams, Joe Mixon to some degree, he says. Which ones are buys and who are you avoiding? So if we're talking specifically about those players, I'm pretty much sticking to my preseason evaluation. Davis and Williams, we know both of those guys have battled some injuries this year. I liked both of them coming in. I still like both of them. I would buy both of them, certainly Corey Davis. Ross is a guy that I avoided everywhere I could, no matter the price. He was available in the mid-second, and I still passed. Nothing he's done has changed my mind. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not buying Ross for a second rounder. If he was offered to me for, you know, for a mid third rounder, then I guess I would probably go against my evaluation there and take a shot just based on him being a top 10 pick. But that's also a top 10 pick by a franchise that I don't really trust. So.
And he's such a niche player. How many touchdowns is he ever going to score?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Will Fuller at best.
Ross is a guy I'm avoiding. I like buying the rest of them if there's any kind of discount. I'm not sure there is. Davis, Williams, Mixon, those guys were all high first-round picks, mid-first-round picks, depending on when your draft was. So I don't think anybody's – I don't want to say anybody. I think most dynasty owners – are hanging on to those guys, not really selling at a discount. I think all of them would cost at least a first-round pick to acquire.
But they're worth kicking the tires on. Somebody might sour on them that drafted them high. And if you recall, you and I had pretty similar thoughts on all four of these guys. We didn't – Ross is on none of our teams, I'm sure of that. And if we had 1-1 in the rookie drafts, we were taking Davis.
Yeah. But you wouldn't do that today, right?
No, I wouldn't trade him for Fournette or Hunt or even Mixon, but I would kick the tires on him for sure.
Right.
I'd like to have him.
I agree. Next question from Marcus is also...
Well, we do, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I would like to tell our friends out there about our friends at Harry's. And I've been friends with Harry's for quite a while now. Like I said, I have done a lot of podcasting in my life, and in a different lifetime, Harry's was a sponsor on a different podcast. So I've been hooked on this product for years, and now that they're part of Dynasty Blueprint, that works out really well for all of us. I had always been an electric razor guy, but when they sent me the samples back then, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot, because I always liked straight razors better, but my face was real sensitive and it didn't work out. But now it does, because Harry's is a really, really good product. Harry's is a perfect gift, too. I mean, they got some holiday things going on for you guys. You already know that Harry's makes amazing quality products at a super reasonable price. Harry's is a company that guys love. Over 3 million guys have switched. That's unbelievable. It's a practical gift he'll get a lot of use out of. You can personalize it to make him feel even more special. You choose a color that's right for him. Now with limited edition holiday colors, custom gift sets that fit his specific needs, even a box for guys that already uses Harry's. Personal engraving options are also available, which is pretty cool. This holiday, Harry's is offering custom and limited edition shaving sets that make perfect gifts. Their gift sets were built with your guy in mind, so you know he'll love them. Sets come with German-engineered five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, foaming shave gel that smells amazing. My wife likes it a lot. Special limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. And you can personalize it with engraving if you so choose. No matter what you're looking for, Harry's has you covered. Sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. And gift sets start at just $10. They have some great stocking stuffers as well. Even get something for yourself with Harry's. And as a special offer for our fans, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off an already cheap order when you go to harrys.com /dynasty. harrys.com/dynasty. This offer is only available for the holidays, so get on that quick. So this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/dynasty right now. That's harrys.com/dynasty. Trust me, you will be happy about it.
Matt, our next question is also Corey Davis related. It comes from Marcus. He says, please help me choose between Corey Davis and Josh Dotson as my $5 keeper and potential cornerstone PPR wide receiver.
I know your answer.
My answer is an easy one. Not a Dotson fan. Not for the same reasons, but he was in that John Ross range for me. Avoided him at all costs when he was a rookie. And I've been happy about that so far. He has flashed, unlike Ross. He's flashed. He's made some big plays, but they've just been so sporadic. Dealt with some injury issues early on. And this year, mostly just been a non-factor, even though his team needed him. Pryor has been a bust and Reed has been hurt. And even with that additional opportunity, Dotson hasn't really done much with it. So I'm easily taking Corey Davis here. Matt, I know you're a little bit more of a fan of Josh Dotson. So who are you taking here?
Yeah, I like Dotson more than you do, but who's his quarterback going to be? And honestly, this isn't even a conversation for me. I mean, my opinion of Davis hasn't changed much. Like we just said, he was 1-1 just a few months ago. And yeah, he's not quite worth that for sure. But I think he's a supreme talent. And I think Corey Davis could be kind of where Amari Cooper was before the season started, before long.
Ooh, I hope so. And I hope that turns out better, at least in the short term. Next question from Hunter. He says, free agent wide receivers are the most important variable for me right now. And we kind of skipped over this earlier talking about free agents, but this wide receiver class, because it's dating back to that class of 2014, which really, really changed the dynasty game, to be honest. Many of those guys are going to hit free agency. And when you look at them, when you look at the free agent list, it's Terrell Pryor who signed a 1-year deal, but beyond that,
he's gonna move.
He'll be gone. I'm not sure we should even care, but beyond Pryor, the rest of these guys are all class of 2014 players: Watkins, Marquise Lee, Jordan Matthews, Paul Richardson, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, Dante Moncrief. It's going to be a fun offseason. Which of these players, we've already said we want Sammy Watkins gone from the Rams. So let's look at the others. Lee and Robinson in Jacksonville, Matthews in Buffalo, Paul Richardson out in Seattle, Adams with the Packers, Landry, Miami, Dante Moncrief with the Colts. Which of those players are you cheering for to move on, get in a new situation?
Before we do that, there's couple guys I think just to mention is I would be blown away if Adams leaves Green Bay. Yeah, I think Jordy might be done. I pulled up that article on Spot Track that you mentioned. But I got to think he might be a cap casualty, and Cobb is on this list too. So I can't imagine Adams leaving Green Bay. And if you take that knowledge and run with it, maybe you could tell the Adams owner, hey, your guy's a free agent. He might not have Aaron Rodgers thrown to him next year. Trade him to me before they lock him up.
Well, there's Adams now has this concussion issue. He's
true.
I'm not going to pretend to know anything about the severity of concussions or anything like that, but we know there were two major hits that he suffered that took him out of a pair of games this season, both the Bears earlier in the season and then this past week against the Panthers. So that's two this year. It's three in the past 18 months or so. We have to start factoring that in as well. But yeah, again, if you want to throw that out to drive down the price, I don't mind that idea.
Yeah, and throw that out too. I mean, he's got concussion issues now too. Maybe you want to trade him. I was told that before the season, the Jags had every intention of franchising Allen Robinson. All of a sudden, though, they've developed some receivers, though. I mean, and Lee is up as well. Do we want those guys to return or not? And Westbrook's out there, and then they have some lesser-name guys that are playing well, and who's the quarterback going to be? And I don't know how to take that in terms of, am I buying A-Rob? Am I dumping him? What am I doing? Lee, you know?
I think I'm probably cheering for Robinson to leave. We said it earlier in the show. As the weeks go on, it's looking like Bortles is going to be maybe sticking with that team. He's at least playing well. He's the quarterback too in fantasy over the past month. So we don't want to take that away from him. He's basically gone from the laughing stock of the fantasy football community to really turning the tables. He's leading this playoff team. He's playing well, whether he's asked to be a game manager or he's asked to throw the ball. He's actually had very few bad games this season.
Absolutely. But you give him $18 million if you're the Jags, you know, I mean.
Well, yeah, he's
always been a better fantasy player than pro player.
Right. That's the big question is, can you commit again to his contract? What about Jarvis Landry?
That's the other one I want to bring up because I think he will move.
Yeah, I think so as well. The Dolphins have infamously been unwilling to commit that long-term contract extension to him. At the trade deadline, his name was reportedly out there being shopped. I think it's pretty clear he would go. He's the type of player that people like to associate with the Patriots. I don't think he has to go to the Patriots to have success. He's done it with Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler and really anybody that's been throwing the ball, Matt Moore and everybody else. He just continues to get no respect. And I like Landry more and more every week.
A little birdie told me that the Baltimore Ravens would be very interested, and he certainly fits their toughness safety blanket for Flacco. What would your thoughts on that be?
I mean,
it's not a good offense,
right? Going to that offense, going to Jay Cutler. That's not a situation that gets you excited as a fantasy owner, but it also wouldn't scare me off. I don't see it as any worse than Miami.
I mean, he'd probably lead the team in targets again.
I think he's going to lead whatever team
any
he goes
team.
To.
Pretty much, right.
Yeah.
He's not going to go to Pittsburgh or Atlanta or the Giants or, you know, someone that has a total superstar there probably.
Right.
I keep going back to the Bears. Could the Bears sign Landry and A-Rob? You know, do something like that.
I don't
make Trubisky's life so much easier.
Yeah, I'm not sure what their cap situation is like, but they, I would assume they have some money.
But I bet they sign at least one of these names we mentioned.
They need to do something.
Yes.
What about Dante Moncrief? He was the top 20-25 player in Dynasty not so long ago, and people have given up on him. I don't think he stays in Indianapolis. I don't think the Colts even really make an effort to re-sign him. I think he's gone, and I think that's good news. He needs a fresh start.
Yeah, and there is ability there. I think he is gone, and I bet a lot of people are shocked that nobody comes calling, and he's one of those guys that signs a one-year prove-it deal somewhere as like the team's third or second receiver, and we have this conversation a year from now.
Let's try and get a couple more questions in. Next one comes from Jordan. Rank the big six rookie running backs going into next year. Honestly, I'm not sure if Jordan's talking about the current group of rookies or the incoming rookie class, but we can talk about both. So let's start with the class of 2017. Big six, we've got Fournette, Hunt, Cook, Kamara,
McCaffrey and Mixon.
Mixon and McCaffrey. So yeah, I'm thinking he's probably talking about the class of
the class of
2017. Well, yeah. We can talk about incoming rookies too, but let's start with this. So Fournette, Hunt, Cook, Kamara, Mixon, McCaffrey. Tough to rank these guys. Let's start it this way. Who's last on your list?
McCaffrey. I actually have the list in front of me because I recently did my top 20 running back list after the great guest we've had. If, by the way, if you guys haven't listened to the last two Dynasty Blueprints, they've been phenomenal with running back breakdowns. So I went and just did it after our little conversation. I have McCaffrey 11th overall on my running back list, which is the lowest of the guys mentioned.
Yeah,
but so that means there's six guys in the top 11.
Right. So saying McCaffrey is last is certainly not a knock. He's last on my list as well.
Is he? I thought you'd have Mixon last, but
Mixon is right above him on my dynasty rankings. Who do you have next in that fifth spot?
I have McCaffrey 11. I have Devontae Freeman 10. I have Mixon 9.
Okay, so Mixon is fifth on this rookie list. Next up,
Hunt at 8, right in front of him.
I think,
but he could be one.
Right. It really is splitting hairs. I mean, all of these guys for me are, they're like you said, they're all in my top 10, top 12 range. They're all players I want. I started to say I'm going to be buying them this offseason, and I don't know that I am actually. I think their price is probably going to be pretty outrageous. And
I think you could buy Cook maybe, and I think you could buy Mixon.
So the question really is Kamara.
Is he one on your list of these guys?
I don't know if he's one, but as far as selling him, do we think he can keep this up? I mean, he plays hard. He runs hard, and he's leaping over people and flipping in the air and landing on his head and breaking long runs and long pass plays. Is this something – is he going to be able to keep this up?
Yes. I think his fantasy production will keep up. I think he'll even get better as a receiver. But he's not going to average 6.5 yards a carry. You know, like his average per touch is going to go down.
Right.
Has to.
As much as I love him, we pumped him up on here really from the beginning. I just wonder if he's a sell high. And then if that's the case, then who do you sell for? Do you sell him for Fournette? I don't know that I would feel great about that. If you can get one of the quote unquote big three, if you can get Bell or David Johnson for him, would you consider that? Is that a sell high?
That's what I was about to ask you. Is I'm looking here at my list, and I have Bell at 4. I go Johnson, Gurley, Elliott, Bell at 4, Fournette at 5, Kamara at 6. And I just had this conversation with my buddy who's a big Dynasty guy too, saying, you have Bell too high, Matt. You know, that his best days are now or maybe slightly behind him, crazy workload that he's got 4 years or whatever on these other dudes that I don't think I'd be in the market for a Kamara for Bell type of deal. But I would maybe be, and let me take it one step further. Fournette's the guy that I was going to bring up as maybe the sell because he's always hurt. I mean, this ankle's never gone away. It's 2 or 3 years now. That if I could get Fournette for Cook in something or Fournette for Mixon in something, maybe that's a move.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the market is going to react to this rookie running back class. We said earlier in the show that the 2014 wide receiver class changed Dynasty. This group of running backs is changing Dynasty right now. And we have to be ready to react to that. Right. Yeah. Throw Barkley in there. Throw Zeke in there from last year.
Yeah. And Gurley's still young.
Right. And those guys are shifting values. They're shifting strategies. And we have to be ready to react, whether that means selling high and continuing to build around wide receiver. I don't know. Maybe it just means selling high and getting two of these players. If you can sell Fournette and you get Cook and the 1-2, right? Sure. I mean, that's
Cook
that's
and Corey Davis.
Deal. Yeah. Yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat. So, okay. To take it a step further, if we have a startup draft right now and it's you and me, you know how we've done these exercises before. You get this pick, I get the next pick, you get the next right. pick. And there's 12 picks in the first round. How many are not running backs? I'm thinking only like two or three, maybe one. I'm not taking any quarterbacks. I'm not taking any tight ends. I want Odell, but I don't want Odell that much more than I want Cook, who's my seventh guy. AB's great. Hopkins. Evans isn't that exciting.
Right.
Four at most.
I see your point, but I still think it's probably a half and half situation. Now, if you're talking about you and I who might build our teams differently, but that's kind of a different conversation, which maybe maybe doesn't have much merit or value. But if you're thinking about ADP, just a general group of 12 guys drafting a new league, Antonio Brown is still going in the first round. Julio Jones is still going in the first round. Evans is going in the first round. Beckham is going in the first round. So that's four pretty quickly. Hopkins is as well. I think Mike Thomas is going in the first round. So now we're at five or six, and you're going to get six of these running backs. Most of them or a good number of them rookies, along with Bell, Johnson, and Zeke.
But if you're on the clock and Evans and Kamara are sitting there, who do you pick?
I'm still taking Evans.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. I've always been a wide receiver builder. I just think this group of running backs is out of this world.
Well, I mean, they're all just so fun to watch, right?
But you get one in the second round.
Right.
You know, you'll get McCaffrey in the second round or Freeman.
When this was happening in 2014 and we got to see Evans and Beckham and Sammy Watkins just really dominating from day one. That was a lot of fun to watch those young guys. And you just hoped you had one or two of them on your dynasty roster. And it is the same exact thing with this group of running backs right now.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, I bet most teams out there that won fantasy this year had started two of these guys basically every week. And yeah. Maybe not Mixon. He hasn't produced, but he still has value.
Yeah. Next question comes from Gronk. He says, going into the offseason, what are the values of Drew Brees and AJ Green? Are they holds, sells? And if they're sells, what can you get in return? I don't think Drew Brees has very much trade value at all. I'm not sure you can even get a second rounder for him. His numbers have slightly declined this year, and there at least has been rumor at some point over the past few weeks that or past couple months that he could be gone from New Orleans, kind of like with the Mark Ingram thing. As the weeks have gone on and they've continued to win and have some success, those conversations and those reports have kind of dissipated. But whether he's back in New Orleans or not, I just don't think he has a ton of trade value. He's even though he's outproducing these guys, he's kind of in that Rivers, Roethlisberger value range.
Is he outproducing those two?
Hey.
Not lately. I mean, he doesn't throw like he used to in terms of
right. That. Yeah, yeah. He may be in that same range production wise as well. Yeah. AJ Green, of course, still has quite a bit of value. I don't think he's a first round startup pick anymore, but I think he's firmly in that second round. I was thinking about this the other day, and I tweeted something out about this. A lot of dynasty rankings, including my own up until recently, had AJ Green ahead of some of these young players who are having good solid years, better than solid. Mike Thomas is a wide receiver one. Devontae Adams is a wide receiver one. Brandon Cooks is just outside of that wide receiver one range. And all of those guys are 4 or 5 years younger than AJ Green. Thomas and Adams specifically were wide receiver ones last year who outscored AJ Green, although he did have an injury. So that's not completely fair, but they're wide receiver ones last year. They're wide receivers this year. They're 24, 25 years old. What's the argument for ranking Green ahead of those guys at this point?
And maybe you could even lump Keenan Allen in there too. He's very, very young for his experience level.
Right. Keenan Allen. And even though, you know, maybe this is where everybody laughs at me, even though he's had his struggles, Amari Cooper, still young. Yeah. He's had two productive seasons. He's had a stinker of a season this year. I think he's wide receiver 46 right now, the last time I looked. So the production is clearly not there, but I'm not giving up on Cooper. And I think if you are, you're kind of silly, honestly, based on what we've seen from him the past two seasons. So Green has value, but if I can trade him for any of those guys, Thomas Cooks, Cooper, or Adams, I'm doing that pretty easily.
Yeah, and get a little something as well. Would you rather have Green or the 1.02? Clearly, you'd rather 1.1.
Right. Clearly 1.1 over Green. I'd probably rather have the 1.2 because I think I can get move that for Adams, or move that and something for Thomas.
Yeah.
So if you look at it that way, then I'm still getting one of these guys.
I'm sure you get Devontae Adams for 1.2 in a lot of leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right, next question, and we'll make this our last question, comes from Travis. A little more quarterback talk. We've had a lot on this episode. He said, I would love to hear you gents break this one down. Travis had a poll on Twitter, strictly dynasty value, Cam Newton versus our guy that we talked about earlier, Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's going back to how high are we going to push Garoppolo up our boards? Here's the poll results. 59% chose Cam Newton. 41% chose Garoppolo. Are you surprised that it's that close?
No. Here's how I would answer that. If I was an NFL GM, I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know Cam Newton just won the MVP, and he's a physical freak. His style of quarterbacking would make me crazy as an owner, GM, coach. But he runs. And in fantasy, that's just so important. And he looks as good of a runner as ever. He scores a lot of touchdowns on the ground. We know how those points translate to fantasy. I think Cam's still a very massive fantasy asset.
Yeah, we're actually in the middle of doing some two quarterback mock drafts right now to pull some ADP. When we do these mock drafts, I've mentioned this before, but I participate in all of them because I monitor them, and it's just, honestly, it's just easier to participate if I'm keeping up with them anyway. I had to stop myself from taking Cam Newton in every draft because in a two quarterback league, he was falling to the mid and the late second round. And I try not to impact ADP too much. I don't want to take, I don't want to take Randall Cobb in the third round of every draft and throw anything off. But I took Cam in the mid second of one. I come up on the clock in another, and it's the late second, and he's still available. And
If this is a
real super flex or two QB league and I can get Cam in the late second round, I'm doing that all day. I agree totally with you. Still Cam here for me. I actually was surprised the poll was that close, but I also agree with you. I can see preferring Garoppolo if we're talking strictly NFL, building a team.
Like for dynasty though, fantasy, obviously, would you rather have Cam or Luck?
Oh, I'd rather have Cam.
Yeah.
This Luck stuff is scary. I'm sure you saw the report, Matt. I'm sure our listeners did as well. But over the weekend, another report that – or a report of another possible surgery. This one comes with a 3 to 6 month rehab period. And they're uncertain, one, if he even needs the surgery, but two – when the surgery would take place, presumably early in the off season. But if it's not taking place until February and it's a 6 month recovery, we're looking at another season starting with Andrew Luck on the shelf. And Yeah, he's just plummeting down my quarterback rankings. I'd rather have Cam over him. I'm almost ready to take Garoppolo over him even up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean,
I'm worried about this Luck stuff. I don't want to overreact to Garoppolo playing well, and I don't want to overreact to these reports either, because we don't really know what's going on. But it's worrisome, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to be a pretty gutsy dynasty owner to go pursue Luck right now. And it might pay off huge for you. You know, that guy might have Wentz or Jimmy or, you know, one of these young up-and-comers and say, yeah, I'll dump Luck for next to nothing. But, man, for me to give up something that it would take to get him, that's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah, yeah, he's a tough player to trade right now, whether you're trading him away or trading for him, just because his future is so uncertain. Obviously, if you can get him very cheap, then I would do that and see what happens. But
you get up a second round pick for him.
Right, sure. But I'm not giving up Cam Newton. I'm not giving up Mariota or Winston. No.
Carr.
I would give Carr for him.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah. All right, Matt, lots of great questions again. Thanks to everyone for sending those in. And Matt, I don't know what our schedule is, but if we're not here again before it happens, everyone have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.